Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that dissects science and takes a look down the microscope at controversial topics in research. My name's Alice Gray. What have we got here?
I am Vicky Blight, hello.
And I am Ty Zee.
And yeah, we're back. We are back with a brand new track. No, we're not. Same track. But a different topic. Because, yes. I mean, last time, oh, that was heavy.
It was very interesting though, wasn't it?
It was interesting. But I feel like we need some...
I felt drained.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed to go and talk more about it afterwards, actually. And but that's the point, isn't it? To kind of spark that debate and actually have a few things to go away and talk to other people about. Because, yeah, it's... Yeah, God. We need a lighter one, I think.
We've got a lighter one for you.
All right.
We want you to go away and find out as much about artificial intelligence. Because that's a new big thing, isn't it, nowadays?
AI.
All these exciting robots taking over the world, stealing our jobs. Is it as scary as it all seems?
I mean, does anyone else watch Black Mirror and just like get a little bit terrified?
Oh, every time. Yeah. It's disturbing. But I think it's so disturbing because you can see your life and you can see society within it. Because it's all based on truth. There's that, you know, it's always that episode, isn't it? You know, the one where... she walks around and they have to constantly score each other based on their interactions. So it's like, hey, how are you today? Oh yeah, I'm so good. And oh my God, why did he only give me that? Oh, I need to do better makeup, or I need to do this. And just this constant, like, your rating falling, like your, you know, your place in society is falling if you're not doing all of these things with your spare time and you've not put this many photos on. I mean, you look at social media and it's the whole classic thing. If I go out for Sunday lunch and I have a nice roast dinner, if I don't take a picture of it, it didn't happen, you know? So it's we've become that. And I think we're literally on the cusp of tipping into something, very disturbing.
Yeah, I think what you said about people thinking they're going to take all of our jobs is such a huge thing. And as scary as it is, I also can't help but laugh sometimes about some of the stories of AI. Like, there is a robot that I was reading about a robot that they made to give out samples in a supermarket and give directions. And so people would be like, where's the alcohol, please? And it would go, the alcohol is in the alcohol section.
Oh, wow. And then helpful.
And they had to get rid of it because it scared people by giving out sausages too aggressively.
Eat this.
Well, there was like a security robot that mowed down a small child.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was like, it looks like a little egg and it was just patrolling. It just sort of rolled over a child, and you're just like, are they really going to take our jobs?
Based on current examples, I'm guessing not. I tell you a story that I'm really intrigued to find out a little bit more about when you go off and do your little research and chat to a few people that are AI specialists. Did anyone else see a few months back the article, I think it was Facebook, were conducting language research with two AI programs? And they were studying how they communicated with each other and the language they were using. I'm guessing this is all based on the algorithms and communication for social media. But they had to stop the experiment because the two AI models started communicating with each other and understanding each other. But the technician who was conducting the experiment didn't know what they were saying.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Oh my God, that's really
I would encourage you to look back on that. And I'm sure it was Facebook scientists. Oh. I'm sure it was something to do with social media. And they had
that
to shut it down.
Terrifying.
Because they couldn't understand. Oh. The two were communicating good-o.
That's the
They'd
thing.
Created their own language, but we couldn't understand it.
That's the thing. We create these things and they learn by what you put in and then they learn from it. And there was an article as well about how someone had made a Twitter bot and it was like meant to be really positive, and I was like, hi, I'm so and so, I love humans, and it was trying to get people to talk and it was learning from the sorts of things that were on Twitter. And so it started off really friendly and then it became racist and started tweeting about how the Nazis were right and things like that, and they had to take it down because it learns from people and we are scum.
Oh my God. Wow, let's end the podcast there.
We are people and we are scum.
But if it's learning from Twitter and everything it sees online, then there are so many internet trolls that it's going to take all of its knowledge from.
Exactly.
And it'll just learn all of the things, because people are, I assume they're encouraged to just post loads of horrible comments to this robot for fun.
Yeah.
Because when it's encouraging people to come and speak to it, they're just going to send loads of nasty things, but that's what it's going to repeat.
They ended up just creating a really highly technological version of, like, a guy sat in his mum's basement, like, trolling Twitter,
just writing, just repeating things that he'd heard in other places. Either that, or you've created like an AI entity that has like a porn addiction or something from being on the internet.
AI thing is, you know, like Alexa.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video? That kid's like, play tractor, and it can't understand him because he's like two and he's talking through like a mouthful of spit or something. And she starts to play hardcore pornography instead, and the dad's like, no, stop, Alexa, stop. And it's like, as much as we're scared that these robots are going to take our job, they're not quite there yet, are they?
What about the episode of South Park? They did their season premiere, and Cartman, have you seen this clip?
No!
So Cartman goes to bed, and he's got Alexa, you know, an Amazon Echo next to his bed, and he starts saying, you know, Alexa, order me some cheesy pips. Alexa. Play my favourite Def Leppard track, or what, you know, whatever, I don't know. So he's saying all this stuff.
You can tell you're a voice actor, can't you?
Just, you know, Cartman anytime.
Yeah.
So yeah, he starts saying all this stuff, but every time he says, Alexa, people watching the episode of South Park with Amazon Echoes in their house, their Alexa starts responding in response to Cartman.
Oh my God.
So he's adding things to his Amazon shopping basket, which is also adding it to everybody else's Amazon shopping basket. It's there is a clip online that someone's filmed from their front room watching South Park and showing their Amazon Echo responding to it.
It's like all of the Alexas are speaking to each other.
Yeah.
Like, to form a network of
and
Alexas
they're all doing cheesy pips.
There's also a video of a parrot that's learned, like, words. And the mum of the parrot comes home and is like, Alexa, read me my shopping list. And this parrot's been like, Alexa, read, Alexa, order strawberries, crackers, strawberries. And she's like, did you order some stuff on my Alexa parrot? And he's like, no.
That's
so funny. So funny.
Well, also, I'm sure my family won't mind me saying this, but my niece, she's 2 in July, and one of her first words was Alexa. You know, they've got them in the house, and it's Alexa, play Humpty Dumpty. Alexa, play, you know, music while she's playing. And Alexa was a regular word, and she started looking to it and pointing at it.
How do you feel about that as an auntie? As an auntie of a child who is being brought up around AI technology, and for other children as well, what do you think about children being brought up into that world?
I think it's... my partner and I have spoken about, you know, in terms of our child and using technology, and when do you start allowing them to use, you know, iPads, and do they need to know how to do this stuff before they start school? Because other children will know to pinch and zoom and swipe, and, you know, is that the new reading and writing? I'm not sure. You know, this learning how to communicate with systems like Siri and Alexa, and I don't know. We both take the opinion that I think there's so much of it around that it will become absorbed anyway, and I don't think we'd go out of our way to put those devices there so that they have a kind of head start on it. I think, you know, we very much would leave it to chance rather than, yeah, kind of getting them to know how to turn the lights on and things like that.
I think it's interesting from a generational perspective is that our generation is called like the nostalgic generation, because we've seen, you know, we were the first generation to have computers in our house and an internet connection, you know, whether it was, you know, dial up and you had to watch the pictures come up, like
and
that noise is so nostalgic for me. Like,
the
when I hear that
noise,
I'm like, ah, oh, that was my childhood.
Yeah.
Sitting there for 10 minutes trying to talk to my friends on Bebo.
I'll tell your mum to get off the phone so you can go on the internet.
Oh, yeah. God, I haven't even thought about that for years.
And so now, like, we've seen so much. We've seen, like, Game Boys turn to apps on our phone, and it's a second language for us to interact with interfaces. We instinctually get technology, and I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I think I'm concerned about how much more it's going to grow, and how, if that's going to leave me behind, or, you know, it's that sort of thing I think a lot of people are scared of.
Yeah.
And as much as we laugh about these instances, it is a real problem. And also, there's cases of AI being really biased in sexist and racist ways. And I think that would be something really interesting to explore during our podcast, is how AI can be great and how it can be bad, and how we reach... How do we stop that from happening? You know,
how do we keep control, I think. Mm.
Of something that learns by itself.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited by this one. Okay. Yes. Go forth and conquer AI.
I've got a sword, I've got a shield.
I don't think you need that. I think you just need a good broadband connection. And
We're in Wales, so it's patchy. Okay, I'll go away and we'll come back. We'll reconvene and we'll interface.
Interface.
Nice. I like it.
Okay, sounds a bit rude.
So I'm joined by Ilona Bilatska, a PhD researcher in Vienna. First things first, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do?
I'm a PhD student, and our university is mostly researching about tourism and different kind of applications in this industry. And my main research, PhD research, is about AI applications in tourism hospitality. And specifically, I will investigate, because I just started to do this, the implications of risk and trust in artificial applications. It's basically about, like, do people ready to use them in future? What scare them to use them, and what people are expecting from artificial intelligence in future, especially in tourism and hospitality settings?
So how would AI applications fit into tourism and hospitality?
I would say that currently there are different AI applications, especially in the hospitality industry. For example, especially in Japan, there are some hotels which are staffed with robots, or there are a lot of chatbots which help people to communicate, which makes sometimes easier the process of communication, because not human involved here. Then there are lots of voice-activated rooms, which are very common in US. We can note that AI is coming to tourism hospitality industry gradually, but still it's happening now.
When we think of AI, we do think of things like robots, but it's anything as small as an interface between a customer and a website.
I think robots is something like intelligent-powered brain or something which communicating with you. But there are lots of debates, like, how these artificial intelligent robots should look like. Should they look like a human, or they should, like, I don't know, just like a machine or something? So this is, like, a very interesting question.
Yeah, there's that line between trying to make something humanistic and friendly, especially for something like tourism, and where you want to have a good customer service rapport, but then there's also that aspect of fear in terms of AI. So where do you think this could go in the future?
I think, like, robots will be around us. I mean, it's like not a joke, but... You know, I think that everyone has already noticed that there is some kind of this concept first. So if you would like to be a very competitive company, doesn't matter, in tourism industry or any other, you should implement at least something from artificial intelligence, because it will give you first competitive advantage. You will attract more customers, and you can surprise your clients or something like this. So that's why I think AI will be around us for sure, just how this AI will behave, because... Does it replace completely all the jobs? Because there are a lot of discussions also about it. Like, will we still work? Because it's like, this is a question. Then another problem, I think, that we should understand, do people, especially in tourism industry, because it's very service-related one, do the people, like customers, they ready to be, for example, served by robots? Because maybe they are scared of them and they are not still ready. So this is like a very open question.
So how much do we interact with AI in the tourism and hospitality industry now, and how much will that increase in the future?
I think now we're just very beginning. As I mentioned previously, like, tourism, hospitality industries, they're just started using it, and they're trying to understand, is it still worth to use it? Because this is like a question of the sphere. But I think, like, future it will be more, because it's helping in a way to communicate with customers for something new, especially when they're searching for some kind of new experiences, let's say. So, because for some people it's a bit of scary, but for some people it's some kind of fun, and maybe to be served by robots. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so when we think of AI, we typically think of, as we've been talking about, robots, and there's, as you mentioned, there's that new hotel where it's staffed only by robots. But AI can be anything from customer service. So if you contact a customer service helpline, sometimes it's not a person at the other end. It's something that's programmed to find some answers for you.
Yeah.
So is that often used in the tourism industry now?
I think some companies, yes, they try to use it, especially big hotel chains, because, like, if you have a very big business, for you it's much easier when you implement something artificial intelligence, which will speak with customers. And sometimes these conversations, they're really smart. Like, you cannot identify, like, is it real human? But this is, like, the main thing between human and computer interaction. Like, if you cannot identify whether it's human or robot, so it means this machine is a very smart one and it works. So this is, like, this kind of concept. By Alan Turing, I guess it was proposed, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, as you say, like, sometimes when you contact customer service or something, you via a chat room setting or via an email, the answers you get back, even though they're credibly detailed sometimes, they're actually not someone at the other end, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And what you've touched on so far throughout the interview has been this aspect of fear towards artificial intelligence. Where do you think that fear from the public comes from?
Actually, I was thinking, like, this is my main dissertation topic, let's say, and I was thinking, like, where it started everything. I think it's maybe it was mainly influenced by science fiction movies or something like this. Because as you notice, like, when you see some kind of utopia movies or something, like, say, we'll be replaced by robots and we will die. So I think this is, like, the main point, like, it was described a lot about this, that machines will replace humans, etc., etc. So this is, like, one point. Then I think it's a problem that these robots, they're trying to look like they will have this some kind of human face or something, and I think people are not ready to have this because it's, like, very scary. Yeah, it's really, really looks scary. Even speaking about this last robot, Sophia, now she's citizen of Saudi Arabia or something, like, she's really looking like a human, but it's, like, strange feeling, so people aren't ready because of this. And then I think another problem can be, like, because some companies, they're implementing artificial intelligence, but at the same time, I think they're trying to make some kind of experiments between humans and machines in order to see, like, how do people understand or accept them or reject them or something like this. I think these points are also making more scaring of anticipation of using more artificial intelligence, robots, let's say.
And you also mentioned the idea of, you know, would we ever work in the future because robots are taking our job? Do you think that's also an area of concern for people?
Yeah, I think it's true, really, because it depends what kind of jobs will be replaced. Like, if the front office, for example, jobs, it's fine, but if something very serious, like, the question arises, like, what we will do, like, humans? This is, like, very psychological perspective, it's, like, a bit very open question because of this job replacement by robots.
Well, that's really, really interesting, and it's not an area of an area of life that I thought would be infiltrated by artificial intelligence. So that was a fascinating exploration of artificial intelligence in the tourism and hospitality industry. Thank you so much for joining me, Ilona. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope to hear about the results from your research.
Yeah, thank you very much.